live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
713, our next guest has lived a nightmare. No parent wants to bury their own child. It's the worst thing that can happen. But to live your life in a way that can serve the legacy of the child that you've lost is a pretty amazing thing. And I'm happy to welcome Terry Osterlee to the studio. And as I told you in the hallway, I salute your courage.
Thank you, Steve.
You're trying to change a law, and we got to tell the backstory here about Chelsea a bit. But I want to know who Chelsea was before she passed. She was 24?
24,
what
yes.
kind of kid was she?
You know, by all accounts, I would say Chelsea was the all-American girl. very good kid, very well-rounded, heavily involved in Girl Scouts, sports.
Type of athlete?
Well, she started off with, you know, the typical for middle school of soccer and softball and basketball. And she was tall, so with her height, she chose basketball, and she stuck with it.
Funny kid? Life of the party type, or really intense and wanted to just get on with the day?
Yeah, not so, I wouldn't say so much life of the party, but she had a way of taking over the room.
Sure.
And not to be, you know, I'm her parent, so of course I'm going to think this, but
it's okay to be biased.
Thank you. She was notoriously a beautiful girl. Parents commented on her beauty. She was smart. She just was the kind of person that when she walked into a room, you were drawn to her.
I spend a fair amount of time talking about mental health and the lack of respect that we have for the damage that mental health conditions cause in this country, whether it be depression or bipolar or anything related to that. What we need to know and what we need to accept is that everybody's going to go through periods of depression in their lives, and that many, many, many of us, and possibly the majority of the population, can suffer a chemical imbalance that needs medication and talk therapy. That can also lead to self-medication.
Correct.
Which apparently was part of Chelsea's path, right?
Exactly. You know, knowing what I know today, and unfortunately I wish I had known these things during her addiction, Chelsea, for whatever reason, chose to self-medicate. You know, as a parent, you know, we talk to our kids about alcohol and drugs and everything, but for some reason, Chelsea, and I still to this day don't really know why she chose to drink. And of course, I know without a doubt that she had no idea the effect that it would have on her, especially
sure.
after such a short period.
She's a kid.
She was a kid. She started drinking. She admitted it at 16 after what we'll probably go into in a little while of some pretty bad bullying. But I think she did that to self-medicate, but then also thinking that she would eventually stop on her own. And we all thought that as a family, that it was just a phase. Of course, we tried to work with her, and we saw it getting a little bit more serious as time went by. But no one had any idea how bad it would become. And Chelsea actually entered rehab on her own, made her own choice to enter at the age of 19. And to me, back then, I honestly thought that was a quick fix. I thought it was a done deal. She could get back to college. And, I mean, that was my ignorance as a parent. But I actually went into the field of addiction. I became a case manager. I don't have the credentials to become one, but they
you have the life credentials.
Exactly. And they understood that. So they let me enter into this treatment facility. And what I learned was just... I was continually amazed. I saw Chelsea after Chelsea with every patient that came in to be assessed.
And every parent goes through the same thing you go through, and that, oh my God, thank God he or she is in treatment now. We're over the hump here. This is going to get better. My own brother, I come from a family of alcoholics. And my own brother, who's now been sober 14 years, he went through rehab and treatment 7 times.
Wow.
And we know that it takes 5, 6, 7 times before somebody can really, quote, get it.
Exactly.
It's not something you snap out of. And when you right. layer a mental health issue along with the alcoholism as a disease, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
So if we fast forward to the really dark part here, and that's it's 2013, and Chelsea's in deep medical trouble, needing a transplant for...
what we would later find out, what they labeled as acute alcohol hepatitis. Oddly, about a year before Chelsea was hospitalized, she actually had a four-wheel accident. So she had and it was a major accident. She had a pin and a plate put in her shoulder. So for that year, that happened in, I think, at the end of the summer of 2012, she related a lot of the pain that she was experiencing to this to the shoulder because the pain was coming from the abdomen, the back. So she and I felt the same way. I thought, well, surely that has to do with this accident.
Sure.
So she just pressed on. Chelsea was a very, very strong girl. I think it may have even gone against her. She had very, at the time, a high level or a high pain tolerance.
And she probably didn't want to put you through any more worry than you're already in.
Yeah, she was. I would say that was Chelsea. She never wanted anyone to worry about her. She's very independent. So anyway, during this period of recovery, so to speak, she was just trying to get better, constantly, you know, icing her shoulder and doing what she had to do to get back into good health with her shoulder because she was very athletic and she loved to run. You know, ironically, even though she had this addiction, she still was very health conscious. If that makes any sense. So,
sure. I know a lot of addicts who turn to physical activity and exercise and to feel better about themselves.
Sure.
And,
yeah,
I think it's the one moment of the day they feel normal.
Right, exactly. So, you know, again, as time went by, the spring of 2013, the pain was getting worse. And we would always, you know, she would just say, Mom, I just don't feel good. I'm always sick. I feel like I have the flu all the time.
So the shoulder actually led the doctors to do enough of an examination to find out the liver was the problem.
Actually, no.
Oh, no.
She was released from that doctor and, you know, on her own. This was about maybe nine months later.
Okay.
So when the pain was getting worse, by pain, I mean in her abdomen. She was having more pain in her stomach.
Yep.
And I would also later learn, I didn't know this at the time, but she was having nosebleeds, other symptoms that, you know, in her mind, there was no way she could add these up to know that this was leading into what would become double organ failure.
So how'd you find out?
So she went to the, I kept on her and on her. I said, you've got to get to into the doctor. So she went into a prompt care.
Man, I don't mean to interrupt you, but I think this is important for people to hear too. Once your kid's over 21, you cannot force them to take care of themselves in a way that you would like them to take care of themselves. So
exactly.
She's 23, I guess, at this point. Right?
Well, she's 23.
Yeah,
that was the battle. She just kept thinking, I'm fine, I'll get over it.
Right.
I'm just on her constantly, you've got to get into the doctor. And so I finally convinced her to go to a prompt care, even though that wasn't the ideal place to start. But she went, and you know, things got really messy from that point on, because I think she, in some ways, she kind of fell through the cracks right from that day of entering the prompt care. He sent her over for an ultrasound, because apparently he suspected something was more wrong than she had originally thought. And the ultrasound, we later learned that would show to have retrograde blood flow. Again, these are terms I had no idea what that really meant.
Sure.
That's a pretty serious thing from what I've learned, that for a 23-year-old, you normally see that in someone much older.
So you went from discovering what this was to realizing a transplant was needed pretty quickly.
Pretty quickly. But what transpired from there was she was referred on to a gastroenterologist. And that was like the big appointment for us. What is really going on? So that occurred on May 1st of 2013. After that appointment, Chelsea, and keep in mind that her intention was to get healthy, because she, you know, I really believe that Chelsea wanted to go back into rehab, but she knew she wasn't feeling well. So I think she wanted to get healthy.
And she's a kid. She's got the rest of her life to figure this out. She wants to get it done, but she knows that she's going to have time, or
exactly,
at least in her head at that point.
Exactly. That's
what
she just wanted, to get this physical part over with, find out what's going on, and then she'll go into rehab or whatever she has to do. She had met a great guy at that point in her life, so things were really looking up for her. And so at this appointment that her boyfriend at the time, Matt, he went with her to this appointment. You know, she admitted. She laid it all out on the table. I have an addiction. I don't feel good. She was, you know, telling her severe symptoms of nosebleeds, severe pain, joint pain. There were a couple other symptoms that even on the medical report we saw later were bolded and underlined.
Mm-hmm.
This doctor sent her home with anti-anxiety medicine and vitamins, and as the article says in the Tribune, with a strong warning to quit drinking, which just, you know, as time went by, I was just sickened by that, because you, and especially working in the field of addiction, you cannot go home and quit drinking on your own.
Well, and this is the thing, and let's bookmark this here, because we're going to come back and continue the story in just a second. But here's the thing. And Dr. Most would tell us this, Andre. He's talked about this before.
Yeah.
People in the medical community need to come to grips with this the same way the rest of us do, because there are doctors out there who, when they hear the word addiction or alcoholism or drugs, and go, well, I'm going to move on to people who aren't hurting themselves. You go home, you do this for yourself or that. What it leads to is a problem with the transplant laws in the state of Illinois, and frankly, in the country, at a time when we have an incredible shortage of organs. And Jesse White's been on the show a million times talking about it. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to donate. We'll talk about that when we come back as well.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Talking with Terry Osterley. She lost her daughter, Chelsea. Chelsea needed a liver transplant when she was 24 years old. You know, it's funny because I look at the text, and Andrea, you know this, and there's no judgment of your daughter that you haven't heard. So I know you've dealt with that, and you deal with that all the time. I would ask people, as they listen to your story, to put themselves in your shoes, or if you've known or loved an alcoholic or a drug addict, put yourself in the shoes of that kid and count your blessings for the people that you have in your life that are healthy. Because until you've walked in these shoes, you don't know. The same way that I didn't know, the same way that you didn't know, it's a completely unfair collection of feelings. If that's the way you feel, you're entitled to it, turn it off. Just turn the radio off. Just go about your day, because we're here to talk about how to make this fair for everybody and not take. I talked to you about this off the air. The reason Chelsea wasn't able to get an organ was what?
She was denied because she had not abstained from drinking. And but you know, at the time that we learned that it was too late, when we actually sent her to the hospital on May 14th, because she was, you know, again, she was sent home by the gastrologist, and during that time frame of about 7 to 10 days, I can't quite remember the exact time frame, but she continually worsened. And if you know anything about alcohol addiction, it's something you cannot stop on your own. It has to be done under, it has to be medically managed, and it's the deadliest form of withdrawal. So to be sent home and her not knowing better, because she's under a doctor's care, she's taking the medication he prescribed, yet she's, what we would also later learn, she's going into seizures. She's shaking, and she's not sure why she's getting sick every time she's trying to quit, because her drink of choice was vodka, and she was mixing it with Gatorade. So she was getting sicker, and she was trying to stop, but trying to not be sick at the same time. When I found her, I went to her apartment one night, just having that gut feeling as a mother, and I saw how I saw her condition, and I knew. I said, we have to go to the hospital. I no longer believed that her situation did not warrant a hospital visit, and I even contacted the doctor. I saw the number on a refrigerator of this physician's office, and I contacted them that morning, and I said, you know, she's looking worse. I'm not sure what to do. Is it wise to take her to the hospital? I mean, of course I knew it was the right thing, but they actually even tried to deter me. They said, well, you know, she probably just needs a banana bag, so, you know, you can take her if you want. I even thought, well, let's just take her just to be sure. And to learn within hours that she's in double organ failure after I was just told, you know, probably don't really have to take her. There was just no words for
that. Well, parental instinct is better than a phone diagnosis, for sure, and you were doing the right thing. But the important thing, I think you just said as well, that people need to understand is, when you're in the throes of addiction, it doesn't matter how hard you want to recover yourself, you're in no shape to decide what's best for you. You absolutely need medical help. And I would encourage anyone, if you can get someone, I don't care how old they are, to medical help, do it as fast as you can.
Absolutely. You know, looking at Chelsea's, looking back, I mean, again, Chelsea, this was a short time frame. This was drinking from 16 up until 23.
Yep.
I still struggle to understand that today. And I think some of the physicians involved did, too, how this could have such a pervasive effect on her health when you see people drinking their entire lives. So, you know, there's always that question, was something else wrong with her? The transplant team did start to question, could she have some sort of an autoimmune disorder? And there's probably some things we'll never know. There were tests sent off to Mayo. As far as I know, everything came back negative, and everything seemed to be pointing directly to alcohol. And of course, that's where everything came into play. Once Chelsea was hospitalized in mid-May of 2013, it was just, the battle began. You know, and we were told right off the bat that actually, you know, one doctor told me it was really bad. This was very bad. If she, and I remember this day so well, and I almost at that point remember Matt and I didn't believe him. I didn't want to hear it.
Of course not.
But he said, you know, she's going to die. That's, he screamed this to me in the hallway, and he wasn't a doctor involved in her care at the time. So I actually kind of thought, well, I don't think this, I think this doctor might be a little, you know, I just didn't have a lot of faith in him. And I thought, there's no way. I would not accept that. And I, you know, for me as a mother, I ran down the hall of the hospital because I wanted to get a prayer chain going. I wanted to contact everybody I could to get the support and the help that we needed for her. And then I was told in the next couple of days, I had a lot of mixed messages from doctors. Many doctors said that she's young and she's strong, so they had great hope that she was going to pull out of this. And I believe that.
But eventually you'd get to the organ transplant need here, and the wall is, and I'm going to ask you to stay another segment if you don't mind, because I want to talk about the program you're doing.
Right.
But the wall is, you have to be sober for a certain period of time to even be considered for an organ transplant. Mm. So you have somebody who's got the potential for recovery if she gets a healthy organ who won't be getting that healthy organ. Andre will pick that up too.
Yep.
After we come back from the headlines. More coming up. Do you have a website you want to tell people about, by the way?
I do. It's still under construction, but it's changeforchelsea.org, and that's change the number 4 chelsea.org.
Up and running, how soon do you think?
It's you can view it right now, but there's, you know, we have a lot more to add to it, so it's definitely viewable.
Okay.
At this
okay.
point. Yeah.
All right, and you'll get a sense too of the story as you
sure.
get in and out of the car this morning. More coming up.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
Terry Osterly is here. Her daughter Chelsea died after a battle with double organ failure that was linked to her addiction problem. There's a thing called the six-month rule where, as I understand it, you have to be clean for 6 months to even be considered for an organ transplant. And even then, you may not get it. So we've talked a lot about the organ transplant piece of this. There's hope to change the law. But in the limited time we have today, because I hope we can get you back on the phone. I know you came up here from Peoria. It's not an easy drive to make. But I'd love to have you back on to talk more about both aspects of this. But your daughter was bullied. And your daughter was somebody that had that trigger in her brain for addiction that you now know about alcoholism and drug addiction. It's a disease.
Correct.
When you go out and you talk to kids or you talk to schools, is it the Holt Center?
Yes, Holt Center for Healthy Living.
All right. So what's the program?
The program is called Youth Mental Health Matters. And the timing couldn't have been, I hate to use the word better, but...
Understand.
You know, with Chelsea's story, we actually came together at the time that they were wanting to... they wanted to take on this new program
sure.
for mental health, because most of their programs involved the physical teachings for students. So for us to come together at that point in time was pretty amazing. I think we both would agree. And they were applying for a grant to take on a new program. It was a pilot program. So Chelsea's story became a part of that. It's a 3-day program that also involves the Center for Prevention of Abuse. And I think it's an outstanding program. I think you know, we have a contract with some of the schools in the Peoria area, as well as other schools that invite us there, because they think there's a need for the program. I think it's proven. Well, we know students have, the outcome of these students has
sure.
been, it's just been fantastic, because they are so thankful that we are in the schools talking about this. And then with Chelsea's story being a part of it, you know, for these kids, there's nothing more powerful than a real life story. And to have me there talking to the kids, it never gets old to me. Because every student that we talk to is, you know, that's a new life. And I've had kids reach out and thank me. And we've, you know, even say that you've saved me, because they were dealing with so many things, possibly on the brink of suicide. And this program also involves a counselor as a safety net. So after the program, we don't just let the kids go. There's
follow up
with the counselors, and
just in Peoria, around the state, or wherever.
Just Peoria now. I don't think Holt could go out of the state. I can go anywhere on my own to tell Chelsea's story. I prefer to be with the program.
But there is a way for people to contact the Holt program.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure, so they could say, "I want to replicate this in my school." What do we do?
I would say contact the Holt Center, and
we'll get some contact information for that. We'll
sure.
put it up on social and
sure.
everything else.
But we, you know, we'd like to expand even in other areas outside of Peoria. It's a time issue, of course, and it takes time. I mean, when I speak, I'm there all day in seven 6 to 7 to 8 classes.
And the amazing thing is you don't even know the long-term effects you have and how you've changed a kid's life going down the road.
I know, but I have received emails from these kids after the fact. And I can't say nothing warms my heart more.
Of course.
You're getting such great feedback, and you're such a great speaker as well. Do you foresee maybe some of the laws changing now because of Chelsea's inability to be on that transplant list, but perhaps changing the how stringent they are?
I do. I will say, I was continually researching on my advocacy for the mental health was one part of it. The other part, of course, was trying to make changes with this, ridding the six-month rule. So I was continually researching, and I could never find a story like Chelsea's. One day I came across a story. I reached out to the reporter who wrote it of a woman who had lost her husband. I didn't get a lot of information back from him, but I never gave up. And I kept Googling her to see, I just had a strong feeling that maybe she would be the one to connect with. And lo and behold, just about 6 months ago, she had her own organization formed, and it's called the Selkirk Liver Society.
Wow.
And for us to come together, and it's just amazing. And the lives, I mean, the changes that she's making, she actually has top surgeons involved that do believe addiction is a disease and do not agree with dismissing these patients.
Out of hand, right? Just because, you got yourself into this, now go home and fix it.
But the way we look at it is, it's no different to us than another life-threatening illness. When I look back at what Chelsea was dealing with, I feel like she was walking around with a cancer that no one wanted to help her treat and just take care of it on your own. And knowing what she was living with, and especially being so young, and as you talked about, the drinking early changes the brain. We know that.
Fetal alcohol syndrome is a real thing, and the bottom line is this: for when an organ is given to somebody, there's somebody else that doesn't get one, and you love somebody and you see them go through what you saw your daughter go through. I can't imagine how brutal that was. We need a fair and level playing field, but first and foremost, we need more viable organs and a better amount of organs that are out there. So please consider organ donation. All the myths, all the nonsense that's out there are just that. If you go to Jesse White's website,
it's so easy. And then when you get your driver's license now, it's automatically on there.
And it's a big deal, and that should be part of Chelsea's story as well. I want to have you come back. We don't have time to do it justice today, but I hope you feel good about talking about it, because I think you can change lives just by doing this.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity today.
You're a good mom.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Nice to have you here.